Hey, happy people. Thanks for joining us here. This is John from the Sync Center. We are deep into a series where we talk about sync supervision and music licensing. We like to set aside time every week or so to kind of break out a question or a term that will be helpful to filmmakers and advertisers and producers as they're licensing music for film and new media. Also, just want to give a special thanks to all the new followers. It's great to see people getting value out of this series. So let's jump into the episode. In this episode, we want to talk about something called cultural equity. What is cultural equity of a song? So there's two problems on both sides of the transaction. The first is musicians often don't have a expectation of why their music, and mainly developing musicians, don't have clarity on why their music maybe isn't worth more than, say, a more known artist. So there's some confusion there for producers and artists. And on the other side, the buy side, for filmmakers and advertisers, they don't have a clear sense of why a song is worth $300,000 or $300. Maybe they don't do it every day, and that's totally understandable. But the intent here is to add clarity to both users, the music producers, as well as the filmmaker and advertiser. So, as everybody knows, songs have different value. There's different weight, different prices for music. So there's two quick buckets we want to put things into here. The first is high cultural equity music and lower cultural equity music. So let's talk about high cultural equity music first. Some attributes for each and some examples of each. So songs like Don't Stop Believin', What's Going On, We Will Rock You, Pave Paradise and Put Up a Parking Lot, maybe a Britney Spears song. Those are some examples of songs that are high cultural equity songs. Some attributes of each. Number one is that a song like What's Going On is a life marker. People can tell you when they heard that song, what they were doing, where they were in their life. These songs are marked in people's lives. Second point is that there's a cultural experience, a tied shared experience for a large group of people. It's not just on the personal level. Something was going on around the culture, things like the 60s hippie movement, or maybe the boy band movement in the 90s, or rock in the 70s. There's a large swath of people kind of in that mode, that experience, beyond just a personal tie. The third component and attribute for these type of songs is there's a deep emotional connection. Could be a breakup, could be hitting puberty, it could be a new relationship, it could be achieving something in their life or losing something in their life. And number four is that songs, high cultural equity songs, trigger more of the five senses. So it's not just listening to a song. You actually smell it and taste it and feel it. It's not just, putting a song on and listening to it. And fifth, maybe most importantly, is high cultural equity songs do the work for the filmmaker. They help him or her tell the story that they're trying to tell. They give the listener information where the listener immediately knows what's going on in the film or in the scene. So those five attributes, they're life markers. They're tied to a cultural experience for a large group of people. Deep emotional connection. They trigger more of the five senses. And they do the work for the filmmaker. They do the heavy lifting for the filmmaker. These five things kind of get us to a higher price point. They bring in more people. They connect to more people. They kind of serve as a tractor beam. They suck people in. because of these attributes. So they're more expensive. So let's flip it and talk about cultural equity, lower cultural equity music. This could be user-generated content, library music or production music, or even a developing artist. An attribute, first attribute here is that the music is unknown. It's probably never been heard before. Secondly, is the song title really doesn't mean anything to the people within the culture. And thirdly, it was never released by an artist you know or were connected to or cared about. And so because of these three components, they were unknown, song title didn't mean anything, and the artist released it didn't really connect to people. This really brings it a lower price point, or often free. So these are kind of two big buckets, high cultural equity music and lower cultural equity music. And the takeaway here is not to say one is better than the other. There's definitely a place for both, and you kind of cast them accordingly as you work within a budget. If you're working on a Microsoft project where there's no cost parameters or Denzel Washington feature film, it doesn't matter. You can just use all the hits of the songs that you need with high cultural equity. But if you're a first-time filmmaker entering a film festival for the first time and there's some cost constraints around it, then you need to think about managing your budget and casting the music accordingly. So as you're bringing music together for your film or ad where you license music legally, or you work within the sync space as a music producer, and you find these type of discussions helpful, feel free to hit the subscribe button below. We're going to be coming back probably every week or so and kind of drilling down into a specific question or a term that we get often as we're licensing music for film and television and new media. So I hope you find this helpful, and we will see you next time.